and Arnold Thackeray on the 8th of February 2004 concerning the oral history. The sequence of the different companies and buyouts now, that it began with Clifford wanting to start a chemical company and having some money from the patent and using that to buy into the Standard Sample company and to buy out Diehl's partner in that company.
Is that okay? That is correct.
And then the next thing that happens is you and Clifford, you build the three-room building and you lay in all the supplies to do the Standard Sample thing more vigorously, I guess, than Diehl and Fredericks were doing it. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
But also to do the chemical and oxygen, whatever that turned out to be.
Yeah.
And the oxygen was somehow connected to Cliff's prior patents and work on around that, hopefully.
You know, we really had never addressed it, and I don't know that it's really important because it's a small part here. But at the time that with the Standard Sample Company, I think subconsciously we always knew that that this was a limited market, so that you had to do other things. And so then Cliff thought that maybe we could make some organics. And that's when he started making tetraphenyl arsenium chloride. And we built up kind of a nice little business on tetraphenyl arsenium chloride. And but he thought that maybe there would be other organics.
You have to help me, the tetra. It's in the history, I know. It's in there, but this was part of the indicator. I guess what I'm asking is, who's the market for that?
Frankly, I don't know. But this was a more sophisticated compound.
Organic preparations?
That I always thought was used in research.
This
had nothing to do with wire analysis at all, and was not an indicator or a dye or anything like that.
So this was just the young Clifford chemist experimenting with other things that he could make for which there might be a market.
Tetraphenyl arsenium chloride.
Yes.
And of course, that was where some of the fires came from. What was the
oxygen piece or hope of the original company, since oxygen was in the name?
I would call it a misnomer. I don't think it really was. I don't know where that came from, the oxygen part. He was trying to make a carrier for a compound that would produce the chemical carbon dioxide. The oxygen was, I think that was really a failed project. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to really expand on it or to beat on that. Okay.
So let me go back to the sequence. There's the money there from the patent. There's the three rooms. There's making up the Standard Samples. There's and buying out Fredericks to get in and do that. There's the experimenting with other possibilities like these organics, and then the water softening possibility.
Yeah, we came along with Dr. Burswith.
That's a new name, I think.
No, Burswith is in here.
Oh, okay.
With the ethylene diamine tetraacetate, EDTA.
And somewhere in there, pretty much around the time, if I'm understanding, the water softening comes in, that buying out Diehl is also being agreed upon.
Yes.
That it doesn't take very long to get
no,
that.
No, as it has said in here, Dr. Diehl was difficult to get along with. He was moody. I think he wanted out, but I think it says in here, and which accurately, Cliff had that fire at Iowa State in making some tetraphenyl arsenium chloride that he probably shouldn't have been making there. And then those graduate students, when they came in there with water and sprayed, they lost all their records. You're talking about a low point.
And this was after the company had started, after the three-room building, so that technically he should have been doing it in the three-room building, I guess, or something. But he probably didn't have the appropriate apparatus. And he was still a student at this moment. I mean, why was he in the university? He was still a student at this moment, I guess.
I think he would have been. He was a student, or he couldn't have been there otherwise.
So he's in this. He's in this collaboration with a moody professor, and he's back in the lab blowing it up. And the moody professor is not.
I think again it says in here that he was embarrassed by Clifford, and that he really wanted to be. He wanted to be free of it. And of course, the feeling, as Clifford used to say, the feeling was mucilage.
Okay. And the idea was that the money to buy him out was coming, going to come out of the revenues of the company.
Yeah, because by this time we were broke. And so, yes.
Yeah. And then a little later, Goetz comes in as the rescuer at a high price.
And Goetz, the dates here are not right, and I have corrected those. It says Goetz was bought out in 50 and 51. No. In 60s.
What place is that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, we will look at
around 32.
But I'll tell you, I will go through and finish this up, and I will write up every correction that I have and what page it's on and fly. Supervisory Control and Electronic Technology was FCAET.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Supervisory Control and Electronic Technology.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll write that up too.
There's a little mystery, Kitty, if you look at page 45. I say down on the right there, it's marked, this is Cliffy's patent on.
For EDTA.
And I must have shown you something at that moment, and I don't have that.
What?
Do you know anything about that?
Because
it's asking you.
Well, that has Harvey Deal, Clifford Hawk. Now, somewhere you can get this. It's under Harvey Deal, Clifford Hawk, and Lon Sligert.
Okay. Well, maybe it's under Harvey Deal, we need to look at this. I must have shown you it at that moment.
Yes.
But we can't. We can't have it on the phone.
And I don't have... there's copies of it. I bought around Hawk. I know it rather.
So Bruce might be able to help us there if we really start.
Harvey Deal, Clifford,
and...
And Lawrence Liggett.
Oh, yes.
Okay. We just saw Larry this last weekend. We went over to California.
Okay.
Cliff has 33 patents. Do you want a list of all of them?
If you have, yes. We should list. We should include that as an appendix.
Well, no, I don't have it, but they have it ad hoc.
Okay.
Now, the person to write to, and I think you ought to write to it because you have, coming from the Chemical Heritage Foundation, that you want a list of all of it. It would be to Dr. His last name is O'Gan. O-G-A-N. I've got to think about it. Kenneth O'Gan.
Okay.
O-G-A-N. Mm-hmm. And it's at the Hawk Company. Post Office Box 387,
mm-hmm.
with Loveland, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
80537.
80537, okay. All right. Good.
80538.
Mm-hmm.
80538.
Okay.
But Dr. O'Gan, he really heads research, but he's the guy that can put his hand on all three patents,
mm-hmm.
and that solves that one problem right there.
Good. Page 34. It's 33 and 34. You're saying you made a little apartment in the plant. When was that you made the top page, two-bedroom apartment, beginning about living in the plant? Do you know?
Well,
when?
Paul was born in 50. Well, that would have been 51.
Okay.
1951. And we were in that apartment when Paul was born, and he was born in 52.
Okay. Page 44.
I'll make a question, but Goetz is G-O-E-T-C.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Okay. Page 44. The EDTA and so on, the ferrochrome black tea.
Yeah.
Is that 54?
What's your question?
When was that?
That we found out about the aerial combat tea?
Yes. Is that in the sort of...
That's a Schwarzenbach.
It was his patent, wasn't it?
No, it was a paper. There wasn't a patent.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there was, but it was a paper.
And the person's name is?
Schwarzenbach.
Gerald
Schwarzenbach.
Yes.
On page 45.
And, this is all round about 1949-50, is it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But there are various places in the text they've asked you, do you know any more about someone's name? But I wanted to ask you around page 62 and 63, when you say this is when you move out of the plant, and then you move back into the plant in 67, you say, and then I asked down about page, you move into another house eventually, and you say the next house was on Ashmore Street. So when was that you moved back out?
Let me see.
About
1970.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's That's when you were in Nashville.
Oh, well, that says it. I think it's 1970. I think that's about right, yes. Okay. And because we moved to Colorado in 76.
Okay.
Might have been 71, but something like that.
Okay.
Now, Bruce said we lived there 4 years. That may be about right.
The other territory I wanted to ask you about seeing that the final version of this may be of great interest to your grandchildren, is if you want to say any more about your other children, or say more about the children. I mean, I
know there's no reference to Paul in here, really.
I mean, Bruce is, it kind of flits in and out, and Murray is just mentioned when she
was and Paul is only mentioned that we sent him to a private school, and I thought, oh gosh, that's a terrible thing for him to read. Right.
Well, would you say, I'm going to ask you a question, and then will you talk. Kitty, please tell me about your children, one by one.
All right. Mary was the oldest child. And Mary was born in 44, and she was just a lovely girl who loved the violin, but she was a good student, and she went to Drake University, and today she has a great deal of entrepreneurial spirit, and that she and her husband have built the Village Mall in Pacific City, Oregon, and her husband is an organic chemist, so she's been a delightful person. Bruce was with the company and stayed.
Did Paul and Mary have some children?
Mary and Charlie.
Mary and Charlie. Yeah.
Yes. They have three children, and their middle son is a chemist, and he graduated from Reed, and he is a practicing analytical chemist right now for a international exporting company. He analyzes, among various things, is the quality of the jet fuel that comes in here. So that's one of his projects. And then their youngest daughter, their oldest son, graduated from college, and his wife is teaching French at Portland State. And then their youngest daughter is a senior in college now.
So the names of those three grandchildren are?
Timothy is the oldest, and then David is the second, and that's the chemist. Timothy is an industrial designer. And his wife is the one who is she teaches French, but she's also a graduate student at Portland State in foreign languages. And then the youngest is Becky, and Becky is a senior, also in industrial design. Okay, and I've already mentioned about what they do. And then Bruce has three children. The oldest is Heather, and Heather was the writer of Freaky Friday, the movie for Disney, and she has another movie coming now for Disney called The Governor's Wife. And then Bryce is in graduate school at Carnegie Mellon right now.
Studying.
He is studying non-profit management, and that may not be quite the right title, but it's kind of like that. And then his youngest is Haley, and Haley just finished a master's degree again in Portland, and she is in literary publishing, and she works at a publishing company.
And then Bruce's wife.
Muriel. Bruce's wife is Muriel, and I would say that Muriel is the person who make sure that all of us get everything done. She's one of the well-organized people, and she works in philanthropy, and but she has not been. Her background is art, and she's a lovely person.
Bruce's own full-time pursuit now is the Hawk.
And Bruce's full-time pursuit is the Hawk Scientific Foundation as managing director of that, and he is completely dedicated to scholarships for chemistry students and scholarships for people who want to teach chemistry. And then we also have, we're running now four scholarships for chemical engineers. Okay. And then there's Paul. And Paul was an instrument designer ad hoc, and then he retired.
Paul was
the youngest.
Go to school.
All three kids graduated from Drake.
Okay.
And Paul has a degree, his business administration, but he was a good designer, a mechanical designer. And he designed instruments ad hoc, but then at the time of the selling of the company, he retired.
And he spent a considerable number of years in the company.
Yes,
as an instrument designer.
That's right. He was there for many years. My goodness, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years as an instrument designer. And then Paul is married to Amy, and Amy is another one of these art history majors. And his oldest is Ethan, and Ethan is graduating from high school, and he's been accepted at Embry-Riddle. He intends to be an airline pilot. And then there are two lower guys, Hunter and Miss Gracie, and they're quite a little bit younger, and they're just a joy. So that's pretty much the family.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I think city. That was the only missing element.
All right. Okay. Well, I, as I said, I will get any corrections that I see here. But actually, I think it reads pretty good. I think it flows.